John 1:8 says, "No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Today we're focusing on the idea that God is not some distant, mysterious concept. God wants to be known by us. My name is Tyler, and I'll be your host as we jump in to day one.
Are we still, you still having that like
music,
and your little, this is the, I love that.
Do you really?
Yeah. I think people liked it.
Well, in that case, this one's for you, Brendan. Welcome to the Journey Through John podcast from Willow Creek Community Church, where every day we set aside space in our lives to experience God's word. Together, we'll discuss the context and meaning of each passage and how the book of John can help us understand more about who God is and the story he's writing for each of us every day. Welcome back to the Willow Journey podcast. We are starting a brand new book, the book of John. And for those of you who haven't listened to us before, I thought it'd be a good opportunity to sort of introduce who we are. And we're not going to introduce ourselves, I don't think. I think we should just introduce each other. So let's start with Brendan sitting to my left.
Bring it on.
Brendan wrote the book, the commentary for Journey Through John, as well as all the previous Journey series we've done.
The book of John.
Not the book of John.
To be clear.
Turns out that was God-inspired and human transcribed. Brendan is maybe good at everything he tries.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
And very hard worker. I met Brendan while he was tearing down a stage set here at Willow. He also can lead worship, which we might have him do on one of these episodes. We'll see.
Who don't know, Brendan, his other job here is our stage manager. So he's not only a theologian, but he also handles all things production on stage,
Pretty good at moving props. Moved a few tables in my time.
Building furniture. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty much everything we throw at you, you got. You should see him on roller skates. It's unbelievable.
I've never seen that.
It's like poetry in motion.
I think I'd like to see that.
Yeah. No Willow party would be complete without a deep theological conversation with Brendan where
it's true.
You learn more than ever thought was possible to know about a subject from the Bible. And that's one of the things I appreciate about you, about you, Brendan.
Thanks, guys.
And always with grace and just tons of humility. What I love about you.
Yep. And Amber.
Oh, boy. Well, let's start off with the good stuff.
Amber's one of our pastors here at Willow Creek North Shore, and she does a lot of across-campus collaboration as well. I would say the thing about Amber is her ability to sit within the just nuance of faith. I think the one thing we learned in our last podcast was that, you know what? Not everybody has all the right answers, but the journey and the delicate understanding of scripture, that's the thing that Amber brings. And that's the thing I really appreciate about her.
Thanks, Tyler. Very sensitive.
She's very encouraging, very giving. Every week, my wife comes home with a new present from Amber.
Thanks, Brendan.
It's usually a cat.
Usually cat. So this brings us now to the most important stuff you need to know.
Like, if Amber's not wearing fur intentionally, she has fur from her cats that she's brought in with.
That makes you sound really crazy,
well,
actually.
Well, you are kind of cat crazy, just to
She loves cats. If there's a cat meme that you find, please email it in.
Yes, sweet.
Amber's text tone is a meow, I believe.
It's a purr, actually.
It's a purr.
Sorry.
Close Wait, enough. Was it ever a meow? I feel like it was a meow at one point.
Maybe at one point, but I've graduated to the purr, Brendan.
Amber loves cozy, fuzzy things. Mm-hmm. And I mean, who can blame her?
Thanks,
All right,
guys.
Tyler.
Yeah.
How do we describe Tyler?
Well, if,
Be gentle, guys.
If there's anything beautiful that comes out of North Shore, Tyler's hand is all over it.
The Journey book. If you think the Journey book looks pretty great.
If you don't think it looks great, then we can find somebody else who designed it. But.
Everything that's beautiful. Tyler does all of our producing of amazing video content that we do, not to mention the Journey book. So many beautiful. He's a gifted photographer. I really admire this creative eye that Tyler has that I will never have, that only a few people I think are gifted with. So
yeah,
I really appreciate that.
I think for any sort of visual thing in my life that I want advice on, Tyler is always the first person I go to, or my wife goes to for me.
Tyler is that person who has tried everything, knows everything,
or
like has an opinion about everything,
or
right?
he knows what he would try if he was to try something.
Exactly.
We went on a vacation. And, we said we were going to go to Palm Springs, and he printed out an itinerary for us for what to do in Palm Springs. We get back. We were like, wow, this stuff was so great. Thanks, Tyler. I'm really glad you shared this with us. And he's like, yeah, that's my future itinerary, because he's never been there, but he knew exactly what we should do.
Coffee, food, restaurants. you need an idea, he'll send you a whole list, which also goes to like your thoughtfulness. Like you don't just say like, oh yeah, this is a great place for coffee. No, you'll send me the link, the whole menu. Like that's part of who you are.
Don't butter him. I mean,
this makes me really uncomfortable. I'm not going to lie. This is a little too touchy-feely for me. Yeah. Like I don't like to know that people
I mean, he's also
it,
super you know? Snarky he and can be kind of truth. A jerk sometimes, but... Is that better? Does that make you feel
that's
better?
That's better, yeah. Okay. That's okay.
More accurate. Yeah,
that's the hard exterior that I try to put up, so yeah. I appreciate that.
Glad to do this with you guys.
Yep. For sure. For the next 5 weeks, it's going to be quite the journey. Mm-hmm. It really is. Yep. And just as far as roles, I'm going to guide everybody through this and through the book. And also just facilitate any conversations that we have here. Brendan is our theologian in residence. He wrote the commentary for this book along with a few other people. And so he is there to answer many of those questions. And Amber is going to be sort of the pastoral presence on this. She wrote the reflection questions that you can answer in a group, on your own, with your family. And she just has a really good heart for understanding the pastoral presence and what we're doing. So how this works is every day we're going to read a little bit of a commentary that gives you a good bit of context for the scripture reading that we're going to read. It'll then take you into the scripture passage for the day and then some reflection questions that come out of it. So you'll read every day of the week. So that's Monday through Friday. We'll take the weekend off, reflect, and then hopefully you're attending church where we are going to talk in depth about this journey that we're all on together through the book of John. If you've chosen to do the podcast every day on your commute, you get a little bit extra. We are going to have a little bit of a conversation at the end of every podcast where we talk a little bit more practically about how does this affect us in our everyday lives. And also, we're going to have a few special guests, including today, I believe. Somebody's going to join us a little bit later. Brendan, do you want to start out by taking us through just the commentary for day one?
For sure. This is day one, and we're calling it God Made Known. The book of John begins differently than the other gospel accounts of Jesus' life. Rather than beginning with a genealogy like Matthew or with a few brief comments from the author like Mark and Luke, the book of John begins with a poetic reflection about Jesus. John tells us who Jesus is and what his purpose was in a style that is as beautiful as the message he's sharing. John starts this reflection by identifying Jesus, who John refers to as the Word, as someone who is distinct from God and at the same time as someone who paradoxically is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. John then goes on to tell us that one of Jesus' primary purposes as the Son of God is to reveal in a clear and unmistakable way what God is like. In fact, this is one reason why John refers to Jesus throughout chapter 1 as the Word. Just as we might use our words to clearly share about ourselves with another person, Jesus reveals to us what God is like as the Word of God. Through his life, teachings, and actions, Jesus allowed people to see the unseen God. This reveals a lot about God. It tells us that God wants to be known. He wants to have a personal relationship with us, so he sent Jesus to earth to make himself known to us. This also serves as an invitation for us to read on in the book of John. If we want to know more about what God is like and to personally know God in relationship, there is no better place to start than by exploring how Jesus makes God known to humanity through the stories recorded in the book of John.
We're going to jump into today's scripture passage. Believe it or not, it starts at the very beginning of the book of John. It's John 1, 1 through 34. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave his testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one."
Now we're going to move into today's reflection questions. As I read each question, feel free to take time afterwards and even feel free to pause it if it's helpful to just sit in this and reflect. If you have your book in front of you, feel free to also take the time to just journal. Day one's question. The first question is, the phrase, "the Word," is mentioned repeatedly in the first chapter of John as a way to draw readers to a reference that they would understand. While we may find the word slightly confusing today, it was a reference known by Greeks and Jews as the source of God's message, his standard of holiness, and a principle of reason. What do you think John is trying to say about Jesus in John 1:1? Why do you think this is important to open this letter? In John 1:12 through 13, John states that all who welcome Jesus as the Lord of their lives are reborn spiritually, receiving new life from God. This is why many Christians describe themselves as being born again after deciding to follow Christ. How would you describe the new life you receive when you are reborn through Christ? If you are a follower of Jesus, describe your own personal decision to invite Jesus into your life. What prompted you to do it?
All right, so let's jump into a kind of a deeper conversation about John 1 and really John as a whole, because today is our first day. We're kind of just getting our feet wet into reading this book. Brendan, the first question I have for you is really, why do we read scripture? Like it is this old text, thousands of years old. Why is this important at all to us?
I think the most obvious reason is it's the Word of God. And it's interesting, actually, John refers to Jesus as the Word of God, which means he's pretty important. But Scripture, we call the Word of God. We believe that it is God's inspired Word. It's text that he's given us that reveals himself to us. It's a way we can get to know God. And if you want to know God, well, this is the number one way to begin learning about him, learning about who he is, what he's like, what he wants out of your life. And so if you're not reading it, well, you're missing out on a lot of great things God has for you.
We all want to know what God is like so that we can have a personal relationship with him. And by reading scripture, we actually can see and feel those characteristics of love and kindness and generosity that God shows through scripture. And so I think beyond just knowing him and his word, we also get a feeling of a sense of who he is and how we can have that personal relationship with him.
So I want to take this opportunity to introduce our guest for today to kick off the Journey Through John series. It is acting senior pastor Steve Gillen. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's great to be with you.
The question I have for you is, why is John the perfect book for us in this season of our church, but also just as for Christians as a whole?
Yeah, first off, let me talk as individuals, no matter where you're at, In Your Faith, John's a great book for you. If you've been a Christian for a long time, this book has immense depth. It's got theological, challenging passages. It's a great book. And if you've never read the Bible, if you're not a Christian, this is one of the books I guide my friends to who are in the searching process. It is accessible. It is one that God will speak to you. It's going to paint a picture of who Jesus is, not just as a good teacher, not just as someone who led a good life, but as the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And so I think no matter where you're at in your faith, this is the book I would point you to. Now, in the life of our church, I would say we chose this intentionally. You know, last year, 2018, quite a traumatic year for our church. As we were going through the year, we said three things we're focused on. One is, let's get our house in order. Two, let's pastor the congregation through this trauma. And then three, we just said, we're going to look to Jesus. We're going to look to him to really kind of recenter us, to remind us of true north. And really, I kind of joy, you really can't go wrong with Jesus, right? So in these difficult moments, say, we're all going to focus on him. And we just said, boy, the best thing we can do is find one of the Gospels. We chose John. We think it's got a message that our church needs to hear and be reminded of.
In the introduction, we talk about what's the purpose of this book. And this is a great segue, that this is the reason that it's great for our church. But the reason this book is written was actually stated by John in John 20:31, is that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. What are the things that really stick out to you, things that are memorable from this book that made you go, yeah, you know what our church needs is this understanding of what God can be in your life?
Well, I mean, that's it right there, what he said. Most people I talk to, they believe Jesus was a real person. They believe he actually lived and walked on this planet. And many people believe he was a great teacher. And John accepts all that and then says, no, there's more than that. And really, the core of this faith is not just accepting that he was real and a good teacher, but that he was who he said he was, the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah. And so in this, you're going to find beautiful text. My favorite verse out of all these, and really one that was quite a conversion for me, is John 10:10. I came to give you life and life to the fullest.
Yep.
And so much of the faith I grew up in my mind, I thought religion was about keeping me from the really fun things and the good things. And instead, you look at Jesus and go, oh, no, he wants the full life. And not meaning a busy life, but that best life he came, part of his mission was to provide that. And when I caught that text, I thought, isn't that what every person on this planet wants? You get one life, that's it, one time. And the thought that God himself came here and said, I want to give you the best possible life.
I mean, you see that over social media too. I'm living my best life right now, right? It's usually split out on a couch with some sort of beverage and great snacks, right?
That verse really encapsulates a lot of what the book of John is about over and over. Really, all the stories bring us to this place where Jesus shows that what he offers is abundant and better than anything else this world has to offer. I mean, that's what you see in the story of him turning water into wine. It's taking these jars that are depleted and empty, and he fills it up with wine that's overflowing. And you see this in all the stories where, again, Jesus offers something that's fuller and better. And that's really what the picture of John is all about.
For a lot of people, they're going to be picking this book up for the first time. And by book, I mean the Bible, not even the journey book. What do you say to those people? Like, these are the first time that they're reading the Bible, the first interaction they've had with any sort of spiritual text, historical text, all wrapped in one. How do they approach reading something like this?
I think my first two thoughts are, first, to focus on Jesus. Just focus on this man, his teachings, his words, and start there. And also just every day as you read, to try and find a nugget in there. Because if it's your first time reading, I understand how the language can be overwhelming, how some of the content and context of what's happening, you may not have the full picture, so it's just a little confusing. So find that little nugget within each day that you're reading and just focus in on that. Those would be the first two things I would say. And why I love John for a new believer is, just like you've all said, it's all focused on Jesus. And that's where I would want a new believer to start, is look at this life of this man and what he can teach you about who God is.
Yeah, and it's accessible in ways. I think that the grand message is really easy to grasp. But again, also for the Christian who's been growing in faith and been doing this for years and decades, you know, there are always new things to learn. There are new riches to mine. It's a deep book, and you can read it over and over and over again and always catch new things. That's what I think is also exciting.
Mm-hmm. I think too, just like from the narrative perspective, it's very difficult to understand, wait, so this man came to do what? And he died for what? And John really encapsulates the full narrative, right? It is a story. It is profound, but it is a narrative. Mm-hmm. It is something that you can follow just knowing how narrative storytelling works.
Oh, and I love the idea too, is this is his closest friend.
Yeah.
This is the one disciple who lives to old age. This is him, and his message is constantly that God is love. Mm-hmm. And you see it throughout this book. You want to know what God is like. You want to know what Christ was like. It's encapsulated in that one word, love. Mm-hmm. And I love that. Mm-hmm.
So for a lot of people, we have read this when we were little kids. You know, we saw the flannel graph, and that's where a lot of these stories were shown to us for the first time. But they haven't been to church in a long time. This is the first time they're coming back. And they might have a lot of baggage. They might have a lot of experiences they had that are very opposite of that. God is love. Jesus is love. That might be the opposite of Christians they've experienced. How do they approach diving back into something like this? What would you say to those people?
I'd say test God and his word. I mean, dig into it and see if the picture that Christians may have given you over the years of what Jesus is like, about what the Christian life is supposed to be like, see if that really lines up with the picture you get of Jesus in the book of John. I think what you'll discover is the picture of Jesus is very countercultural. He reaches out to the lost, the lone. He shows love to people that the world rejects. As Steve put it, he's a God of love. And that's, you see in every story, really, God showing his love. Reaching out to the lost. Yeah.
See, what I love doing is if someone's had a bad experience with church or with Christians, I love to just say, take out your journal and just write the phrase at the top, what's God like? And then write what I thought in one column, and the other one is what I see. Mm-hmm. And first brainstorm, here's all the things I thought about God. I thought he was judgmental. I thought he was harsh. I thought Christians were legalistic. Whatever phrases you have. And then as you read through this, write what John says he's like. He is loving, and he's good, and he's forgiving, and he's gentle, and just compare and just realize that the Bible may describe a God that you never knew existed, and he may be very different from the one you saw portrayed either in a church or through a Christian.
So this is just day one. We are about to jump into a 5-week journey of reading through this whole book in depth, and hopefully join us on this podcast multiple times. But I don't know, Steve, do you have any challenge for the rest of us for the next 5 weeks? How should we approach the rest of the book as we go forward?
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, I'd say commit fully to this. Set aside time every single day. Don't try to catch up all on the weekend. Just do it daily, a little bit every day. And what you're going to do is you're going to create space, a few minutes a day, for God to speak to you, to learn something new. Commit to that every single day. Have time in your calendar and just save it, period, in the morning, in the evening, whatever works for you, but just go, it's daily. Second, understand that in any kind of run like this, 5, 6, 7 weeks, something's going to get in the way. There's going to be something that surprises you that's going to take your attention. You're going to get behind. The temptation is to quit. Don't do that. I always say, if you had a tough week and you fell behind, that is when you do catch up on the weekend. So stick with it. If you'll stick with it, every time we've gone through this, God's worked. And so if you'll stick through it, I think God will do something powerful and something new for you. But you got to stick with it. And so the other thing I would tell you is make sure you've got people that you're talking to about this. If you're married, talk about it with your spouse. If you've got kids, bring them up at the dinner table. Hopefully you're in a small group, so you've got a regular gathering where you can talk through this. But understand, 6 weeks is a long time. Lots of things get in the way. So it's going to take perseverance and work, but I think God's going to bless you in this.
Well, we're excited to jump in, and we're going to have a podcast for you every day of this reading to help you along. Thanks for joining us for the Journey Through John podcast. To check out even more resources, visit our journey page at willowjourney.org. And be sure to share your journey experience on social media with the hashtag WillowJourney. If you have any questions or would like to learn more about the ministries of Willow Creek Community Church, check out willowcreek.org. We'll see you tomorrow.